Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, committed to being an objective partner for over 425 employers and their brokers, providing self-funded employers with data to manage their health plans. The-Alliance.org.
Since 1990, the Renewable Energy and Sustainable Living Fair has shown nearly 200,000 fairgoers how to change the world while having some fun doing it. And I tell you what, each summer the fair transforms rural Custer into a hotspot for renewable energy education. We want to talk about renewable energy and talk about the fair, of course, with two guests who come by pretty much every year to talk with us about it. They come by other times as well, but it's always fun to have Mick Zagrillo, who's president, Katie Mathai, who's associate director of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, to join us. And they're back again this year, both on with us by phone. This year's fair is June 15th through the 17th, and they're going to be giving us some information about the fair and certainly answering your renewable energy questions as well as we move along today. If you'd like to join us, you can. Here's the number. If you're in Madison, call 263-1890, 263-1890. Elsewhere, it's 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And I always forget about email, or often do anyway. So you can email us, too, if you'd like. It's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. And Mick Zagrillo, you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us. Katie, hi.
I'm here.
Thank you so much for being with us. Well, have you got an exciting fair for us this year?
Holy moly, do we.
Good. Tell us about it.
We are having what is going to appear to be the best renewable energy and sustainable living fair yet. Next weekend, we have workshops planned, over 170 this year. We have nearly 250 exhibitor booths, as well as our clean energy car show is returning.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, think back to the first fair. And you know, Mick, it was a good fair, but not quite so elaborate.
No, it was the first fair was in 1990. We had about 3,000 people show up. It poured during, you know, we thought at that point, maybe we ought to consider something like hydro on gutters. It was just unbelievably miserable. But here we are 18 years later, and life is good. And we really do have an outstanding event. I like to say that it's the best renewable energy event in the known solar system.
And how many people are you expecting this year?
I'm actually saying 20,000 out loud.
Wow.
Which I have not done before.
What did we have last year, Katie?
18,250.
So up and keep them coming, huh?
Oh, yes.
Well, I tell you, we're already callers online to visit with you. And somehow I just managed to knock Katie off the air. So, Jim Packard, you can try to get her back on here. I think, well, let's go to Richard and see what's on Richard's mind. Richard, hi, thanks for calling.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the fair for the first time, so I'll add to that, bring that figure up at 20,000. I was wondering if they're going to have anything on the India's air automobile, the one that runs on compressed air. I just got through watching that DVD on Who Killed the Electric Car, and that kind of got me a little upset, too. And are they going to have anything like that there?
Mick?
You'll have to ask Katie that specifically, but my guess is probably not. What we do at the fair is we demonstrate today's solutions and not, you know, tomorrow's possibilities, I guess, what you might say. There will be electric vehicles. There will be high-mileage vehicles, a variety of different types of hybrid vehicles, biodiesel vehicles. But, you know, these sort of esoteric, experimental types of things, we have a tendency to stay away from. The reason is what we're trying to do is we're trying to show people that, you know, again, this is not tomorrow's fantasies. These are real live solutions that people can actually purchase and utilize today.
Katie, are you back with us there?
I'm back, so I didn't get to hear the question.
Oh, it just had to do with an air car from India, and
oh.
Mick was saying, no, you're really working on today's, what we really have today that we can use. Maybe you could talk a little bit about the cars, the renewable auto part of your fair.
Absolutely. We are definitely putting sustainable transportation at the forefront of our fair this year, so much so that we've moved our clean energy car show right next to the front gate. So every single person that comes to the fair will be able to come and visit the clean energy car show. We have demonstrations, as Mick was talking about, with electric vehicles, high mileage vehicles. We have a plug-in hybrid that will be there this year. So those demonstrations. We also have workshops, all focused on sustainable transportation, as well as an exhibit booth spaces. I think we have a tent full of 12 exhibit booths this year, all focused on some sort of sustainable transportation.
Cool.
Yeah.
Daryl in Rice Lake, your turn. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
I had some questions, for hydrogen and why we're not going, working more toward getting hydrogen, working for an infrastructure for hydrogen.
Well, Mick, a comment from you?
Sure. You know, hydrogen is one of those technologies that, again, is into the future. I think even very, very optimistic folks in the White House are looking at, well, maybe 30, 35 years down the road. Other scientists are looking at 40 to 50 years down the road. It's definitely a technology that is available relative to fuel cells. There are some technologies that are out there. They tend to be relatively expensive, and they're not mass-produced at this point in time. One of the problems with hydrogen, well, there are a variety of different problems with hydrogen. But, first of all, hydrogen is a fuel carrier and not really a renewable energy per se, so it needs to be made from something else. Currently, hydrogen is almost exclusively made from natural gas. So, utilizing hydrogen as a renewable solution, we're not there. The other problem with hydrogen is that if you want to run a vehicle with it, for example, it takes about 4 units of energy to make hydrogen and get out only 1 unit of energy. So the balance of trade, so to speak, is not quite there right now with the current technology. I guess that pretty much, relative to infrastructure, that's going to be a huge undertaking in this country. Right now, we deliver, for example, gasoline and diesel to fuel stations. We pipe natural gas for heating and for industrial applications and for industrial processes. None of that infrastructure is capable of carrying hydrogen. Hydrogen has some very unique characteristics that make it difficult to contain. So, it's a direction that we're moving into more along the lines of research than practicality at this point. But, we'll probably see it. Hopefully before I'm dead, we'll see it.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Kathy in Mineral Point will turn to you next. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I'm sorry.
What's on your mind?
Already there. I am wondering if there's something I can put over my solar panel. Up on my roof last about 15 months ago, that hailstorm we had, I lost one of my 5 panels. We had 3-inch wide hail, and it looks like we're in for it again right now. Is there any kind of a grate or protective thing that exists that can be put over those panels?
Oh, that's an interesting question. And boy, we really had some hail in Wisconsin, in southern Wisconsin here several months back, and I was getting on close to a year, I think. Mick, do you know, will anything be like that be at the fair?
I don't know if anything. There will certainly be installers there that are familiar with, for example, I'm assuming this is a solar water heating system?
Was it Kathy, was it a solar water heating system?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, are you going to be at the fair?
Yes.
Okay, then by all means, stop and talk to some of the vendors that are there. That doesn't sound like something that I've heard of.
Yeah, I mean,
I know that folks typically use tempered glass, very, very hard glass. But, realistically, and I don't mean to be flip about it, but that's what you have homeowners insurance for. Some kind of a destructive act of God like that typically is covered by, insurance, just like it would damage your roof or it would damage your car or anything else.
But
the fact that you're going to the fair, I'm sure if there's there are Katie, there are people there at the fair, obviously, as Mick was saying, that deal with solar and should be able to have some answers.
Oh, absolutely. And not only will there be exhibitors, there will also be workshops about solar hot water. So that would be a great opportunity for you to talk to people who live with the systems, as well as talk to that presenter who's more than likely an expert in that field.
Yeah, good. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Kathy. And Mike in Dodgeville, we'll go to you now. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Hi.
Okay, the situation that I have, I would like to go to this fair. But what I'm interested in something that's, you know, that I can, I don't know necessarily take away from the fair, but something that I can actually put in my hands and use. I drive to and from Dodgeville to Madison every day, which means 60 miles or more round trip a day.
Yep.
And what I want, you know, I'm paying huge amounts of money for gas, and I want something that I can, you know, drive. I want something that's going to be practical and not, you know, go and see this concept car. I want something I can put on the road.
Yep. Well,
you understand where I'm going with the question. If I go to this, am I going to see concepts, which are really cool, but not practical? I want something I can drive.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's go to Katie.
Well, we definitely have things that you can drive. We have the Clean Energy Car Show, and on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, we're having a hybrid rally. So for those owners of hybrid technology vehicles, as well as potential owners, as well as people who are interested in talking to owners about hybrid technology, that will be demonstrated and available at the fair. There will also be the plug-in hybrid vehicle, which is not commercially available yet, but I think it's within, you know, at least a year or so. So Toyota is a sponsor of the fair, the car show, as well as a local Toyota dealership will be there, as well as a Honda dealership. So those things that you could go to a lot right now and purchase, they will be demonstrated at the fair for you.
All right.
And I would like to point out that what Katie's talking about, these are not concept vehicles. These are vehicles that actually exist, actually work. We have a board member, Bob Ramlo, who recently purchased a used hybrid vehicle, and I don't know if it was a Toyota or a Honda. Met him in Madison for a meeting that we had about 2 hours from the Amherst area, the Custer area, down to Madison. He said he did, he did the speed limit at 70 miles an hour and pulled well over 50 miles a gallon. By well over, probably meaning 51, 52 miles a gallon.
And we'll get some more information on that right after a look at the news. Stay with us. Glad to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the 18th Annual Renewable Energy and Sustainable Living Fair. Mick Segrillo, President, Katie Mathai, Associate Director of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. The fair is this year on June 15th through the 17th at the Renew the Earth Institute at Custer, Wisconsin. And certainly happy to have them with us. And you can join in with your questions and comments as we move along today as well. And, Mick, we were talking about solar, or I should say energy-efficient cars, and you were telling us about a friend, colleague, who purchased a car of that nature.
Right. Bob Ramlo, who is on the board of directors of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. I met him in Madison for a meeting a couple of weeks back. He drove down there from the Custer area. And at the, you know, usual 70 miles an hour, the speed limit that most people are doing on 39 there. And he said he got over 50 miles to a gallon. He was saying that it was 50, 51, 52, depending upon where he was at. That's not too shabby. That's
no.
Pretty good mileage.
It sure is. Tom in Madison has a question for you. Tom, hello.
Hi there, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I say I had a question for Nick and Katie. Actually, one of the things, I work for an organization known as Wisconsin Environment. We're a grassroots organizing group here in Madison, based out of Madison here, and we're also in Milwaukee. And I was going to ask if at the Renewable Energy Fair, if there was power plant technology that's that's discussed or is anything that's sort of showing that off.
Katie?
Because one of our big pushes right now is to get 20% of our energy in Wisconsin to be produced by renewable sources by 2020. So be interested to hear that.
Sure. Thanks for calling. Katie, do you want to start?
I thought he said power plants at first, and I thought, no, we don't talk about power plants. But there are a number of workshops addressing future goals for renewable energy. And one of the things I know for sure that we're going to talk about is the National Outlook for Wind Power. The American Wind Energy Association is presenting a workshop on what the major policy initiatives in Washington are for wind power, what we can do, and then how can we encourage our congressional representative to support policy measures like that. And then there are a number of other workshops talking about energy and our energy future, and especially in Wisconsin, grants, incentives, and those things as well.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. Actually, I was wondering if I could also leave you with our website.
Sure.
That's www.wisconsinenvironment.org.
WisconsinEnvironment.org. All right.
Yes.
Thanks for calling, Tom. Appreciate it. And let's go to Samantha in Madison. Hi, Samantha.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment that I've attended the Renewable Energy Fair a number of times, and I am struck year after year at how clean the fairgrounds are kept by the people who attend. And it's really striking when you contrast that with people who attend Summerfest. And I think it really says something about the mindset of the people who attend. And I can take my comments off the air.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Katie, comment?
You know, she hit it right on the head. We have a great group of people that are interested in the environment and sustainability issues. And not only are they clean, they are they're good people. There have been numerous people who've, you know, forgotten a purse in a workshop, and 10 times out of 10 that's happened. It's the purse has been returned, no money lost, no problems at all.
Katie, will you please comment on what happens to the garbage that we generate at the fair? I think that this is very interesting.
Well, one of the things that we do as an organization, of course, we are committed to environmental sustainability, and so all of our food service items are served on biodegradable food service ware. That means bowls, plates, forks, spoons, anything that you get from a food vendor at the fair, you can put in a compost bin, which means it doesn't go to the landfill.
And by the way, we do compost all of that stuff after the fair. We have a number of compost bins out in the woods for those of you that have visited that area before, and all of last year's foodware, dinnerware, so to speak, is now composted away and is great dirt.
Wonderful. Thanks again for calling. If you'd like to join in with a question or comment, we're talking about the Renewable Energy and Sustainable Living Fair with Mick Sagrillo and Katie Mathai. A question about the fair or about renewable energy, feel free to join in at 1-800-642-1234, or if you're in the Madison area at 263-1890, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And before we go back to the phones, Katie, you have some keynote addresses as well, and maybe you could just mention who's going to be speaking.
Well, we are delighted to have Dr. Helen Caldicott on Friday at 1 o'clock. She is a Nobel Prize nominated author and an anti-nuclear activist, as well as a peace activist. And she's coming all the way from Australia to present a keynote on Friday at 1. Saturday, Stan Grusinski, who is a former Wisconsin district representative and directs the global environment management out of UW Stevens Point, will be here Saturday at 1 o'clock. And Sunday, we have an author. Her name is Judith Levine. She's coming from New York. And she wrote a book all about not buying it. And it's her year of not buying extraneous items. So some really interesting and a wide variety of keynotes every day.
What does it cost, by the way, to attend the fair?
The fair is $10 for the day or $25 for the entire weekend. And with that, you get into the fair, you get all of the workshops, which happen every hour. You get 250 exhibitor booths, as well as we have food vendors, and we have children's workshops that happen throughout the fair as well.
Yeah, that, I wanted to mention that, the fact that children are certainly welcomed and encouraged to come, so it's a thing where you can bring the family.
Oh, yes. We try to make it as family-friendly as possible. We have diaper-changing areas, which are family-friendly stations. We have a Rainbow's End children's area where children are, we have special workshops for them. We have ice cream making every day for kids, as well as a Tom Pease concert, and all kinds of things to get the entire family involved.
Mitch in Green Bay will go to you next. Hi, Mitch.
Hi. I'm wondering, are you going to have Ben Apple, APPEL, Brian Apple, I should say. He's the CEO of Changing World Technologies out of Carthage, Missouri, and he operates a industrial thermal conversion system right now, and part of it is that he's found that it dismantles the prions of mad cow disease, among also turning all of the waste out of ConAgra's turkey plant, the stuff that doesn't go to market, feathers and all, into this thing and makes oil out of it.
Well, I don't know. Katie?
We don't have him at our fair this year.
Ah.
Yep.
So we don't, but there's plenty of other people to talk to and listen to.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks, Mitch. Tim in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. You were talking about composting just a minute ago, and I was, the thing is, I bought some land up north, and I want to put a trailer on it and maybe at some point a cabin, but I want to keep my footprint as small as possible. So I was wondering what you know about composting toilets, and if I've heard mixed reviews, and I don't want to put something into a travel trailer if it's going to smell like an outhouse.
Well, Mick, a comment?
Sure. Now, I know that we're going to have at least one vendor there, Katie, that will have composting toilets. Is that true or not?
Yes, we have an exhibitor as well as a workshop devoted exactly to composting toilets.
That would be, if you can make it to that workshop, that would be a great place to get some information. Essentially, you're right. Some of these things do smell like outhouses, but some of them are, you would be absolutely amazed. My wife and I travel in the Southwest once in a while. And in a number of areas in New Mexico and Arizona, of all things, we've come across something called waterless urinals. And sorry to be really graphic about this, but you would think that something like that would just exude, it'd just be really, really objectionable. And they are not. You don't even know, you don't even know that these things are waterless. It's fairly amazing where the technology is right now. And I know that there are institutions that are currently installing composting types of toilets indoors, and they're perfectly acceptable to people.
And let's see, I was going to ask, what day is the workshop on composting toilets, Katie?
It's Friday at 4 o'clock.
Friday at 4 o'clock. So, Tim, if you're interested in that, Friday at 4 would be a good time to be there.
By the way, speaking of, I talked about being up in the Northwest. My recollection is, what's Northland College up in Ashland, Katie?
Mm-hmm.
They have a dorm up there with composting toilets in it, and that might be a place to visit.
Thanks, Tim, for calling. Appreciate it. What are the hours, by the way, each day of the fair?
Friday and Saturday we're from 9 a.m. until 7 o'clock, and Sunday it's from 9 to 5.
9 to 5.
And those are the exhibitor hours. So we have breakfast offered every morning at 8:30, and then on Friday and Saturday evenings we have entertainment after the exhibitor area closes down.
Jim in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a very specific wind power question.
Okay.
And the question is, where are we in terms of technology with regard to putting wind power out on Lake Michigan? And are there any projects that are currently being looked at?
Okay. Mick, do you know of any?
There are no projects currently being looked at. Where we are right now in terms of the technology is there are a number of entities around the Great Lakes that are very interested in wind power in not only Lake Michigan, but all of the Great Lakes. The National Renewable Energy Laboratory is right now beginning a project where they're going to be mapping the wind resource. We've done one study in the state of Wisconsin. The best wind sites that we have in the state are somewhere around 15 and a half miles an hour. On the Racine Reef, at 60 feet, which is very, very low, we have a documented wind resource of over 18 miles an hour. That's an enormous increase in the power availability to wind turbines out on the lake. Probably the first wind turbines that you're going to see installed in the Great Lakes are going to be installed by Canada and the state of Ohio in Lake Erie. It'll be a while before we get there with Lake Michigan because we have a deeper ledge here, but they're taking a look at what the wind resource is, what the best ways of getting the energy from those wind turbines to the shore would be. It's proceeding. It's going to be a while. It may be 10 years before you see a serious proposal in the Great Lakes, but it'll come.
And just to talk about wind energy in general, it grew by 27% last year, if I'm not mistaken, and there was something like $4 billion invested in that resource.
Yeah, it's an enormous... the American Wind Energy Association's annual conference just occurred... Well, it's ending today, and I unfortunately, because the fair is so close this year, I was not able to attend. But it's amazing to see the level of business, and in some extents, you know, the large business involved in the manufacture of some of these turbines. This is a real industry. It's been a real industry in Europe for a number of years, and now with concerns about carbon footprint and global climate change in the United States, it's definitely taking off in the United States as well.
Stella in Sturgeon Bay, your turn. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I called about one comment and question, and the caller just before me brought up the question of wind generation out in Lake Michigan, and a friend of ours who has a business, Lake Michigan Wind and Sun, John Hippensteel, will be at the fair, and he would be a good person to talk to if he's interested in talking about that idea. What I called about is my husband and I attended the energy fair back years ago, one of the early fairs when it was at Amherst Junction. And we are vegetarians, and we eat whole foods. We do our best to avoid refined foods. And we were totally delighted and thrilled that we could eat the food sold by the food vendors, because generally at affairs like that, the food is not, we can't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to give kudos to that, and I wanted to check and see, is it still the same situation?
Katie?
You betcha.
Great. It was a total treat. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Stella. Thanks for calling. Lots of food to eat.
Lots of great food, and it's not all vegetarian. There's enough for the carnivores as well.
Okay. Tom in Janesville, your turn now. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Listen, I've got a couple of things. Before I ask about a photovoltaic workshop, I wanted to mention that I have a little log cabin up near Rhinelander, and I have a composting toilet in that cabin. It's an EnviroLed I've made in Canada, and they make one that will sit flat, and it's not real high. You don't have to have a ladder to get up on it. But there's no odor there at all. It has a couple of fans in it and a vent stack with a whirligig on top. And I have two photovoltaic panels on the roof of the cabin that constantly charge the battery that runs those fans. And I've had it for 3 years now or so, and I'm very pleased with it.
Excellent. Thank you. And then you had a question.
Yeah, I'm interested in the photovoltaic and production of my own electricity for the cabin. They want, you know, an exorbitant amount of money to bring lines down to it, and I'm not all that interested in that anyway. And so I was wondering if there's going to be a workshop and vendors for photovoltaics at the fair.
Katie?
Oh, yeah. We have lots of solar electric installers as well as solar thermal. And then we have, I would say, at least five or six workshops dedicated to solar electric systems.
So I assume there'll be some of those on Saturday then.
Pardon?
I assume there'll be some on Saturday workshops.
Yes.
All right. Very good. I look forward to it.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. And by the way, people can get information online about the entire fair, what's going on, when, the various times, I assume, on your website.
Yes. Our website address is the-mrea.org.
The, and then a hyphen mark, mrea.org.
Right. And they can download the workshop listing, as well as the list of exhibitors and the schedule of events that happen each day.
All right, perfect. Chris in Burlington, it's your turn. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon, Larry and Kathy and Nick. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Nick, you'd be happy to see the wind blowing out there today. I don't know if it's knocking you over, but it's turning a lot of blades today, I'll tell you.
I'm generating electricity.
Good, good. I'm really excited. I've attended the fair a couple of times, and with Helen Caldicott coming, this is it's a must be situation for me. I need to be there and take that in. And I wanted to ask, is she going to be promoting a book or something along those lines? I suspect, but and then I just one quick question too: is there still a bus that goes up there for this?
Oh. Katie?
Well, your two questions, I'm glad you brought them up. Number one, yes, Helen Caldicott has a book that we will be selling. It's called Nuclear Power is Not the Answer, and she will be doing a book signing following her keynote address as well. And then along those lines, we have a number of other authors as well who will be signing books during the fair, throughout the fair. But yes, we do have buses to the Energy Fair. And one of the things we've tried to do this year is to reduce the carbon footprint of the Energy Fair. And so we are offering some great incentives to take long-distance travel, which we're calling long-distance travel, mass transit to the fair. We have buses from Madison and Milwaukee. It's $20 for a ticket. And we're serving coffee and breakfast, some baked goods on the way up. And then you get a $10 coupon when you get here that can be used just like cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the way back, we're serving beer, soda, bread, and cheese.
Oh.
So, and we'll also be showing a movie on the bus.
Wow.
Every single time. So it's definitely worth hopping on the bus.
Yeah, and how do we find out more about the buses?
You can either call our office to register. We're still accepting registrations for bus transit until tomorrow afternoon, and that number is 715-592-6595. Or if they get to our website, there's lots of information on there as well.
Okay, so it's 715 area code 6, I'm sorry, 715-592-6595, correct?
Correct.
All right, so there you have it, Chris. Thanks for calling. And Jeanette in Fond du Lac, hi to you.
Hi. See, I have two questions now while I was waiting. First question was, is there a retail source for that compostable dinnerware that you had mentioned earlier? And second question is the Midwest Renewables at all interested in looking at helping farmers develop manure digesters for methane?
Okay, well, let's take the first one first here, and that has to do with a source for the dinnerware that you have.
Yes, retail-wise, I don't know if there's like a local store that would sell it, but if you go onto the internet and Google biodegradable serviceware, you will find an incredible amount of sources for biodegradable items. We are going through ebiodegradables.com. They are a certified through the Co-op America as a fair trade organization, as a fair trade business. So mm-hmm. that's who we're going with. And I think their name is World Centric, and it's at ebiodegradables.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the second part, Mick?
on the manure digesters, Katie, I don't believe we've got a workshop on that, do we?
No.
Okay, but I know that there was talk about doing an entire track next year just for farmers. So I would say stay tuned. You know, it's a level of technology in this country at this point that sort of caters to very, very large agricultural
firms. And with that, I have to just cut in and break you off there because we're out of time. Mick and Katie, good luck with the fair. And we certainly look forward to having you both back again and talking again. Appreciate having you with us very much. The Energy Fair, June 15th through the 17th. And go online to the-MREA.org, and you'll find out all kinds of information about who's at the fair and what's happening. Mick Zagrillo, Katie Mathai. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned.